This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Kia ora and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Bobby McCumba, a former international cricketer for Samoa and lover of Kirikiki, the Samoan's very own version of cricket. Now, the show wouldn't be complete without my two wonderful co-hosts from across the Pacific sharing the latest local sports news on the ground and in the islands. My first co-host is the news director of the Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Indra Singh. Bulla Indra.
Bulla Bobby, how are you doing?
Very well. Good to have you back. And my second co-host is the news anchor for Tivoli News in the Solomon Islands. It's Lisa Osefello. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Bobby. And how are you?
Yes, I'm doing very well. Great to have you both on the show. Indra, every time I speak to you, you're in a different part of the world. So where are you now or where have you been recently?
Yeah, Bobby, just thankfully to the love of sports, it gets us to travel just like most of us in the Pacific, yeah, but it was just in the Solomon Islands, actually, in Lisa's country. Just got back. It was in the beautiful Solomon Islands. You always enjoy visiting any Pacific Island country that's in and around our region. So it was another enjoyable trip, of course.
Wonderful to hear and great to hear that you're back in the beautiful Fiji as well. Now, Lisa, in the Solomon Islands, I know you've been working on the OFC Women's Championships in Honiara. You'll touch on that a little bit later, but if you could just give me one thing that surprised you during the recent series finals, finals series, what would it be?
Well, the recent OFC Women's Champions League, man, I was also very lucky to be a part of the first edition, which was held in Papua New Guinea last year. And also this year, the one thing that really stood out was the level of women's football in the Pacific region. So it's, you know, there's a lot of passion, a lot of skill and a lot of potential. And it really stood out as women's football took center stage here in Honiara. So that was a really big highlight for me.
Oh, and I look forward to hearing more about that a little bit later in the show. Thank you, Lisa. Coming up on the show, what were teams from PNG and Fiji doing on the Gold Coast last weekend?
Offloads in the tackle now on the outside for Aram. This is good hands and the footwork. And the score from Deb Kitipa. Finally, we have our first try. And it does go the way of Papua New Guinea. Inside the 10 now for Fiji. And the offload in contact is an absolute beauty. Now tucking the head, Diren Juvic. And there's the opening score for Fiji. Extra meter in it. Looking for the first try now. Crashing over across the line. Can she get it down? Yes, she can. Perfect start. Gloria Kalpa with the opening score for Papua New Guinea. And the crossfield kick from Diren Juvic, and charging onto it is, you know who, Captain Courageous on the inside to Baharo, and she's across the line, and Fiji finish with a flourish.
My co-hosts for today have recently been working together on another tournament.
Four remain after a week and a half of excellent football at the OFC Women's Champions League. Here's this ball, Renata Samuel and Lemba. Still Lemba, Narieta Lemba. She's just missed a golden opportunity. Marikaipu is making the run. Arriving. Still arriving. Goal! That has come out of nowhere. That is Nani Elipas. Now, Marikaipu into the area. She's got two players lining up. And it is goal number two, easily done. Auckland United take out the OFC Women's Champions League 2024. And it has ended. Hikari United FC 0, Auckland United FC 1.
Ah, familiar voice there. And why are Fijians smiling once again?
Goes for the drop goal. Wasn't even in the best position to take that drop goal.
We'll give you the latest sports gossip from around the Pacific, plus loads more, so make sure you stick around.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Now, each week, my co-hosts and I will report on sports from across the Pacific, analysing and detailing all of the best bits in sport. But before we get to that, let's have some fun.
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss sports gossip in your country. Did your auntie hear the neighbours talking about a new rugby coach? Or did you happen to see the captain of your football team drink a little too much kava after the game? Now, it's not fact, it can't be backed up, but these are rumours happening around sport in your country. Now, we're going to limit it to, well, we'll go with three, Indra, because I know you've heard a lot on the Coconut Wireless in Fiji lately. What have you got for us?
Yeah, most definitely. It's been you know, the sports season is on full roll. You can say it's basically full steam ahead with the month of April just approaching us into the early part of next week. Yeah, the first one is can never do without Fiji Sevens. And as we all know, they'll be defending the Olympic gold medal at the Paris Olympics this year. Two-time winners at the Olympics. They're looking at their third gold medal under the guidance of the new coach, Osea Kolonisau. Well, the word is that he will be looking at a couple of overseas-based players to be part of the Sevens team, including the man they call the bus, Joshua Tuisova, and perhaps racing a 92 T14 winger out of France, Vinaya Hambosi, who was the best player of the Drua two seasons ago. So that's most likely to happen. Well, we'll see if it does or not. They'll have to fight for their place in that final team. The next one is, Bobby, on to football, and we have the World Cup qualifiers. As you know, Oceania has 1.5 places for the next Football World Cup, so one goes directly, the other team will have to go through the playoffs. And the Nations Cup is happening in Vanuatu in June, and recently Fiji and Solomon Islands men's met in friendlies, and Scott Warra, a former English Premier League Stoke City defender, has made a comeback in the Fijian setup. Guess what? Next up, they're looking at Josh Langere-Tambua, who plays just in the second tier of the Premier League for League One club Charlton. He's a former Fiji under-20 rep, so there are talks about him joining up the Fijian team for football internationals coming up this season. That'll be huge. There's a lot of international flavour to that. Well, if Josh does come back and turn up for the Fijians, we'll have to see. And recently in the NRL, Bobby, you know, Fiji has put in a bid to be the 18th club. And they are trying to rival the likes of Papua New Guinea, and the government of Fiji has backed them. Well, I've seen I've managed to catch a glimpse of a white paper, if I may call it, based on what Fiji would want to do should they get the go-ahead for the NRL, is perhaps get most of its players, the likes of even Viliame Kikau, Semi Valemei, who is with the Queensland Cowboys, North Queensland Cowboys, to perhaps come back and start playing for that 18th franchise should it be given the go-ahead. So that will be an interesting one to keep our eyes on and ears out for.
It certainly will be, and that is the first time that I have heard about Fiji possibly joining the NRL. I know I've been hearing about PNG coming into the NRL and their push for that over the last year or two. So, could Fiji come from behind and pip them at the post, or could we get the two teams in there? Who knows? But you've heard it here first on the Coconut Wireless. Thank you for that, Indra. Lisa, we'll take it to the Solomons. What have you heard on the Coconut Wireless?
Okay, Bobby. Well, in the Solomon Islands, football is really big. All the fan supporters, they take it very seriously. At the moment now, as probably has might also gone up on the news, also on ABC with the national coach, Philip Arango, the Spanish coach who has been with the Solomon Islands national team for so long. Now, his last match with the national team was with the friendly test match with Solomon Islands and Fiji here in Honiara. This was last week. So that was his final match. They offered him a contract to renew the contract, but he has declined, mainly for the reason that I think there's just so much drama and so much critiques coming from supporters and fans. So he's probably given up on that. He's done very well, as he also mentioned in one of his interviews, like the national team has really gone up in the past 4 years with its rankings. And the rumours have it that the Solomon Islands Football Federation will be going for a local coach this time around. So that supporters and fans will not have too much of a high expectation. But what I've heard is they're going for former national, Moses Tuata. He is in the running to be the new Solomon Islands national team's football coach.
Oh, there you have it. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, how much of an impact the fans can have on not only the players, but the coach here. As a, I guess, a spectator yourself when you're at these games, Lisa, have you noticed the fans being quite vocal in what they think of the coach?
Oh, yes, definitely. We had, well, Indra was there also at Lawson Tama when we had the friendly test match, which the second one, which Fiji won. And the fans were really disappointed, and they came after the match, the final whistle, they came to the changing rooms, and they just went all out at the coach at Felipe after the game. So they didn't even feel sorry for him. That was his last game, and he was going back home soon. But yeah, that's how seriously they take it.
Will the fans go easy on Moses if he's winning? Yes. If he's losing, we'll see. Watch this space. Thanks for that gossip, Indra and Lisa. That was
Cuckoo Nuts Wireless.
All right, it's time to find out what's happening in sport across our islands. Indra, we'll kick off with you. What are some of the local sports highlights happening in Fiji?
Yeah, as I said, Bobby, you know, it's all sports. It's all sports on the go. But I'm trying to start with the new Sevens coach that has come in, as I mentioned, Osea Colin-Isau. However, it's not so much only the new Sevens coach. The old Sevens coach, Ben Gollings, the former England international, he is now threatening legal action, saying he was dismissed and right procedures were not followed. So that might end up, well, hopefully not, but in the court, because his lawyers are now preparing papers to take his case to the higher level of the court, that is totally going to get FRU into more trouble.
Interesting. What else? What else have you got for us, Indra?
Yeah, the other one, Bobby, is that it's a bit of a sad one. You know, Fiji and Drua, the women's Drua side, they've started their season, and they last weekend they had their first home game as a doubleheader with the men. And for this season, there's been some changes. The men are playing first. So they're playing at about 1 o'clock local time, which is about midday Australian time. And it all has got to do with television rights, etc. around Australia and the region. When that game happened, it was a jam-packed stadium with the Fiji beating the Drua beating the Waratahs. And the 3 o'clock kickoff for the Fijiana, the women, you wouldn't have thought that there was 2 hours ago that place was jam-packed. Most of the fans had walked out, which is a shame. I say this to the fans. You got to give the same level of support, be it a men's or women's team, in any sport. If you've paid money to come in and watch the men, and if you really have to leave for some odd reason, that's fine. But I don't expect 70% of the crowd to walk out by the time the women run onto the pitch. Imagine being a women's rugby player and looking up and seeing the big crowd before that, and then when you run on, there's hardly anyone there. That's just really stupid move by the fans. You got to support them all. They're playing again this weekend, and then the men are on at 1 o'clock against the Force, and then the women are at 3. I hope that we see a difference. If not, it's all lip service and mouth blabbering away that we support women and their sports.
Yeah, that is disappointing that people didn't stick around, especially when you're right there, you're supporting your country.
My biggest gripe is there's so much lip service being paid to women and everything that they are doing, but the actions are not really showing us of the same, and that's what's disappointing. And I think that was what was disappointing the team last week. Yes, they lost, and I'm not saying by any means that Waratahs didn't deserve the win in the women's grade, but I'm just saying in terms of the support, regardless of the win or loss, the fans should have stayed on.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with that, Indra. What other sports highlights do you have from Fiji?
Well, we've got the massive Easter stuff happening. We've got a lot of sports in terms of Easter. And one of the interesting ones you'd love is cricket is going on. So it's back. It's Easter Cricket Championships, which usually draws a big crowd to Suva and Lau Islands, which is an island away from the two main groups where the best cricketers come from. They are all ready and playing well, and everyone's on the support. What's interesting here is it's not beamed live on television or anything, but there's a live stream that's being done by Cricket Fiji, and everyone in Lao is glued onto that because they've got about four teams playing just down the road from where we are right now, and the atmosphere is fantastic. It's incredible, and hopefully it can rub off on our Fijian teams, which has really, you know, dropped off the radar in the Pacific cricket in recent time.
Hopefully you get a few more people coming out to have a look at those games, especially if there's no other sports that, I'm sure there's plenty of sport that's happening, but if that is one of the main events, hopefully they can get a few people down there supporting that. Who did you have a chance to catch up with this week, Indra?
Yeah, as I said earlier on, Bobby, I was in the Solomon Islands and talking about women and sports and how women in sports, we all got to pay lip service less and do action more. And I I tell you what, this recent tournament in the Solomon Islands did show us that there is a lot of work being put in by many of them, people who want to grow women's sport. Amongst them, so football, women's football, and Hikari United is amongst them who played in the final of the recent OFC Women's Champions League that just completed on Saturday. Unfortunately, they lost in the final to Auckland United out of New Zealand. But Ericsson Komeng, their coach, is very instrumental. He's taken over the reins of the Papua New Guinea women's international team as well, and he coaches Hikari. I managed to catch up with him just to ask him, first of all, you know, how is women's football developing and how it's helping a country like PNG and Pacific as a whole?
Well, yeah, back home, it's the girls' interest to play in the football. Yeah, we hopefully we can get a lot of girls involved in playing football and try to get their minds off little things like staying out away from alcohol and all this stuff. So yeah, we can help the girls and develop them. And because I work with under 15s and under 17s, and some of the girls from that age are currently in the team. So yeah, we're looking forward for helping those at that younger age, and hopefully we can improve and develop.
In Oceania, you said, you know, Papua New Guinea started off as one of the strongest, giving women a chance to play. Now you see almost all island nations are doing it. I'm happy to see the progress, Ericsson, around the Pacific region.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's going to be an exciting couple of years for the Pacific Island countries if they can try to do the same thing as I think Solomon Island women's team just moved a couple of pushing up the ocean and leather. So yeah, if PNG can do, if Solomon Island can do, I think a lot of Pacific Island countries can work on little things and try to get there. And in future, we can see a lot of development from the Pacific Island countries in women's football.
What will it take for us to compete against the likes of New Zealand Football Ferns? You know, Papua New Guinea has come close in the past, but in recent time, what will be needed by the teams?
I think we just have to composure. A lot of players have to, you know, go out and play abroad and just try to bring that experience back. And because I think New Zealand, they got the upper hand with all everything, the academies and the facilities. And with other Pacific Island countries, we don't have much of that. And if only players can, the FA can help players to go abroad and play and bring that experience back. And I think we see with some of the Cook Island players, they went to US, and in PNG, we don't have overseas-based players here. But the talent that we have and the push, we help to push the girls to work harder. And I think that's one of the biggest things, that the girls love what they do and to play in football. I think it's a big part of PNG in the women's football now. They want to compete and they want to get there and they want to play at that level. And yeah, I think players to go play abroad could help a lot.
Ericsson, Papua New Guinea, a beautiful country in the Pacific, but these girls, great role models, as you mentioned. You know, the women in Papua New Guinea, the young girls coming up, I mean, they'll be looking at these players and thinking they have a life and they have a future.
Oh, yes, definitely. To see these young girls play, and some of them have their smaller sisters, and someone, another player might have another fan. And I think that's the motivation that they see and follow the girls. And I think Hikari back home is one of the biggest clubs in the country. And to see these girls get at that level, I think it will inspire and help other girls to get to that level. And I think seeing these girls now, and they're going to play and the whole country going to watch, it means a lot for their families and all the girls back home, because they just want to be like these girls here. So yeah, hopefully they can help and inspire other girls to get there.
Wonderful to hear someone of Ericsson Komeng's caliber doing some great work with women's sport. Thank you very much for that, Indra. Lisa, we're going to go over to you now. Just working with some internet issues there, trying to get into the Solomons, but we do have you, Lisa. What's been happening in sports in the Solomons?
Okay, thanks, Bobby. We have just completed an exciting women's football here in Honiara, the OFC Women's Champions League, and it was also a really well, we received impressive news that women's football in Solomon Islands has moved up 21 spots on the FIFA ranking. That was impressive news for women's football in the Solomon Islands. The Women's Premier League for Solomon Islands football will commence after the elections. We're just in election mode here in Solomon Islands. So most of these competitions, also including the men's TSL football league, will commence straight after that. Also, we've got the here in Honiara, we've got the Taekwondo qualifiers for the Paris Olympics. That is happening sometimes next month here in Solomon Islands. So we'll be hosting a few countries as well here. And also currently now is it's a school break. And one thing I've really noticed for many years, I must say, football has been the most dominant sports in Solomon Islands. But the one thing I've really noticed since the Pacific Games, which was held here last year, now rugby has gained a lot of popularity as well. The women's rugby team has done pretty well in its performance during the Pacific Games and also rugby in general. So we're picking up with rugby now. And it's really good to see at the beginning of the year, it's this rugby program, which is Get Into Rugby, has been rolling out in various schools in Honiara and also reaching out to the provinces as well. So rugby has become very popular now in schools. We've got the Get Into Rugby Festival, which is currently on here in Honiara, and a lot of school kids, or Pekinginis, we should say, in Solomon Islands, are part of this festival, which is going on now.
So the Kikininis are playing a lot of rugby over there, which is great. What else is happening in sport over there, Lisa?
We've also got, you know, with the facilities that we've got now since the hosting the Pacific Games, our tennis, it's the under 16s, 14s and 12s have been practicing. This is for the West Pacific Regional Championships, which is happening very soon in Fiji, in Lautoka. Tennis has been in preparations. I think they'll be leaving the country today for Fiji. So, tennis is also pretty much picked up from a very young age now and fully utilizing the tennis facilities that we've got here.
And that's what we love to hear, Lisa, using all of those facilities that we use for the Pacific Games, incredible facilities, so making sure that they're still being used throughout the year. Lisa, who did you have a chance to catch up with this week?
Like I've mentioned, we've got the Get Into Rugby Festival, which is going on right now. So I managed to speak to the development officer for the Solomon Islands Rugby Union Federation. I spoke to David Siapu, and he talked about the festival and what's been going on with the Get Into Rugby program.
The program itself is about getting the rugby modules, which it has 8 modules. Okay. It's simply getting those 8 modules into schools, develop modules on the skills, plushing the core values of rugby. So the first module is the try stage. This is where the kids come out just to have fun. Then before they progress to another stage of the module, which is play stage. And that's where the kids learn how to play ruck, maul, tackle, forming up a scrum. And then once they done with a play stage, they move on to another stage, which is called stage. And that's where they are ready for full contact game. So it's a three-part program. Seeing that rugby has become a very popular sport, especially with overseas, you can see sevens are now become very popular. Here in Solomon Island, the GI program is very important among kids. That's where we need to develop the kids. First, they need to understand the basis of rugby skills and rugby principles, and also to learn about the rugby core values, which are integrity, solidarity, respect, discipline, and passion. And once you have all those core values within you and you have the basic skills, you'll become a better player with a good skills, and you can play rugby. That's why it is very, very important. Okay, this year we have we just started with 7 schools on the west side of Honiara, 7 schools. So now that we have completed their festival, now we're going to move on to the eastern side of Honiara. And our aim now is also to target another 7 schools. With the 7 schools in West Honiara, it is very popular among the kids, especially the 9 years old, 10, 11, 12. They love playing rugby. But it's about guiding them and protecting them and safety. Here in Solomon Island, this is where we wanted to create a pathway, a missing link. There's a missing link between the primary level to the secondary level. There's a gap there. Then we have the highest competition here, which is the Honiara Rugby Union. That is the highest level there. There's no school competition. That's the missing link. Now, our aim is to develop those kids from 9, 10, 11 to bring them up so that we can create under 14, under 15, under 16, and then there's a clear pathway where they can progress, and they learn, and then they go up.
All sports, no matter what it is, always starting with the basics. Good to hear from David Siapu talking about rugby in the Solomons. And great to hear about all the local sports that are happening across our Pacific Islands. So thank you, Indra and Lisa. We're going to take it to sport across the Pacific now. Indra, you know, we have one of our co-hosts. I think you might have co-hosted alongside her, Melissa Fade. She has played cricket for Vanuatu and she's also a cricket commentator. She's not in the team at the moment, but what's happening with the Vanuatu women's cricket team?
Oh, of course, it was great being with Melissa, who has actually captained that Vanuatu women's side. Unfortunately, I think studies are keeping her grounded in Australia, Bobby. But her colleagues, the Vanuatu women's cricket side, they're getting ready for the ICC Women's T20 World Cup global qualifiers in Abu Dhabi starting on April 25th. So if you don't know what it means, it basically means they go into a World Cup qualifier. They are in Group B against Ireland, Netherlands, United Arab Emirates, and Zimbabwe. What they need to do is be one of the two teams to finish in the top two, and they get to the T20 Women's World Cup that's going to be held later on. I mean, what a great achievement, regardless of where they finish, and we're hoping for the best for Vanuatu to be there and playing in the World Cup qualifiers. Mind you, they did come out on top in the first stage of qualifiers that was held in Vanuatu, and they have got some really good players. Selena Solomon will captain that side. Elvina and Gillian Chile are there. Leimauri Chile is there. So, you know, we just wish Vanuatu nothing but the best, and definitely we will be all behind them and rooting for them from across here in the Pacific, Bobby.
Yeah, can't wait. Selena Solomon, we've had her on the show a couple of times. Melissa has interviewed her. It was a shock to a lot of people when Vanuatu won the Pacific tournament, which helped them qualify for this. But, you know, Papua New Guinea have been dominating the Pacific region for years, so it's great to see another team up there. And, yeah, all the best to Vanuatu for the World Cup qualifiers in the T20. Thanks, Indra. Lisa, let's talk a little bit more about the OFC Women's Champions League, which was happening in Honiara. It's been building up for a long while. How did it all finish off?
Well, it was an exciting competition. and also a good way to start off, you know, international matches here in Honiara to start off with women's football. It was really, really good to see an increase in the number of teams from the first edition of the OFC Women's Champions League, from 5 teams this year to 8 teams participating. And hopefully we'll have an increase again in the number of women's clubs from around the Pacific next year. But yes, it really was a really positive thing to host, especially women's football here in the Solomon Islands. We had a lot of young women and girls also come out to see and be part and support the competitions, despite the Solomon Islands club exiting in the group matches stage. But I know that a lot of inspiration has bloomed from the competition for other young women and girls who have the potential to play football and also, you know, making a difference. It is empowering. And yeah, it was good to see a lot of interest building around seeing these women footballers playing. And, you know, after the match, especially the finals when New Zealand won, you know, the players also had the chance to meet with some of their fans and supporters. So yeah, it was not only just football and playing on the field, but good to see these women and girls inspiring each other and trickled on to other young women and girls who maybe have the interest or have the potential in playing football in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful that they can see these women representing their countries and touring all around, not only the Pacific, but also around the world. And wonderful to hear, of course, both you and Indra on the broadcast for the OFC Women's Champions League as well. So thank you for that. We're going to keep talking women's sport, this time rugby league. Now, the Women's National Championships took place on the Gold Coast over the weekend. Fiji and PNG joined the championships this year for the first time, which is great to see. So PNG had 2 wins, 2 losses, plus PNG player Belinda Guasaman was awarded the Tani Morris Medal. So that is joint best player of the championships. Incredible effort. She made the team of the tournament too, alongside Mele Joe from Papua New Guinea as well. Fiji got the 1 win, so it's always good. New teams in there, if you can at least get 1 win. They did have 3 losses, but 2 of their players also made the team of the tournament, which is wonderful to see. Alessi Kilawakena and Meresini Drotini as well. So it was earlier in the year than normal, so that NRLW scouts could maybe add people to their lists. So we'll see if any of those Pacific Islands stars pop up in the NRLW this season. Love to see seeing so many more Pacific Islanders coming into that NRLW competition, which is fantastic as well. Indra, let's talk about PNG football. What's happening with the coach?
Yeah, recently, as early as last week, the first ever FIFA series was launched. It was a brilliant initiative, according to Papua New Guinea head coach Warren Moon. So what this FIFA series is, every 2 years, FIFA is now going to do is aid these smaller nations like Papua New Guinea and Vanuatu this time around to play against the bigger countries. And that way they get to get exposure, etc. Papua New Guinea, of course, played in Sri Lanka. So they were in the FIFA series Sri Lanka, where they drew 0-0 with Sri Lanka. And then they lost to Central African Republic by 4-0. Vanuatu was in Saudi Arabia. They lost to Guinea 6-0. And then they, with Brunei, they just went down 3-2. So what the Papua New Guinean coach Warren Moon has said, this is the best initiative that has come out of FIFA. And this pilot series hopefully is, there's many repeats. He says, if this wouldn't have happened, it would basically kept football grounded in the smaller nations like in Oceania, minus New Zealand. Of course, New Zealand was part of this as well, the FIFA series. They played a couple of games, the All Whites. And so it's all a go-go. And this is going to definitely boost, hopefully, great outing for the clubs or the nations out of Oceania, Bobby.
Good to see Oceania stepping up around the globe as well. Thank you, Indra. Lisa, tell me a little bit more about the Basketball Melanesian Cup. When's that happening?
Melanesia Cup for basketball will be hosted by Solomon Islands next year. And, you know, the Solomon Islands men's basketball team, I've been talking to some of the players and also the chairman of a new board and a new setup that has recently been done. Now, the men's basketball team for Solomon Islands, and they're both men and women, haven't really performed to that level. But currently now, because of hosting the Melanesian Cup for basketball next year, it's kind of like a big deal for Solomon Islands, and now really hoping to really promote the game and put it where it was like before. 3 years back, basketball was a really big thing for Solomon Islands. But now the seriousness of it, the men's basketball team have gone into camp, training camp really, really early with the High Performance Center that we're very fortunate to have here in Solomon Islands. They've been in camp. They'll be doing a lot of these camps and sessions all throughout this year. So, yes, we're very happy to be hosting the Melanesian Cup basketball. That's happening sometimes next year. I really can't confirm the date, but hosting it here and also looking forward to Solomon Islands really doing better this time around.
It always makes a difference, I think, if you're playing on home soil or home courts. So good to see they're preparing a year in advance. Hopefully we'll have those dates in the next couple of months so we can lock something in. But thank you very much for that, Lisa. And just finally, with sport across the Pacific, the 2024 OFC Men's Nations Cup qualifiers. They're happening in June in Vanuatu. It's the first time since 2016 due to COVID. So good to see that that's coming back. Samoa beat the Cook Islands 1-0 with a goal in the 88th minute and are the last team to qualify for the OFC Cup. As always, it's nice to hear about all the sport that is happening across our island. So thank you, Indra and Lisa.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Della Aldama played for the PNG Orchids in 2017 at the World Cup. She's now the PNG Rugby Football League Women's High Performance Manager and Assistant Coach of the Orchids. I asked her how the Women's National Championships went in the Gold Coast.
It was a very great experience for us, both the players and the management. There's a lot of positive experience through this championship. From back home leading up to the game, especially back home, it's with the rice program we have on land module and all this, it's very educational for the girls. It really put the girls to a next level, just to understand how to be an elite player, especially off the field before coming into the field play and all this. So I really appreciate the opportunity that has been given to our local girls back home. And yeah, leading into the week of play, there's a lot of education sessions going around, and the environment was good for the girls to meet a lot of international players and all this. So yeah, it was a great exposure and for the girls.
It was particularly successful for Belinda and Melly. How satisfying was it for the PNG squad to get those wins?
It was very great, the experience, and I think for the two particular players, they have their own story to tell, and it's very special. And yeah, for us as a team, these two players made a team, and it's a big achievement for us as a team, and also at the PNG community as a nation. And yeah, it's for us, it reflects a lot of story going back home that, you know, girls can not only stop at being an Orchid, but there's a lot of a pathway leading up into the rugby league.
PNG Women's Rugby League has only had its own comp for about a decade, and the Orchids are about 7 years old. What has changed and developed over that time?
I would say that the way PNG RFL is looking after the girls is compared to when we started playing rugby league. In terms of their well-being and their physical preparation and high performance, all these things, like PNG RFL is doing a good job preparing the girls into all this elite competition and with the support of QRL and the Australian government, they're taking care of the girls very, very well compared to when we started playing rugby league. So, yeah, it has changed the treatment and the service we normally get back then compared to now. It has changed to an elite level, and I can be confident and say that the treatment we are getting from PNG is same as Australia and other developed nations.
It's wonderful to see getting more of those resources and support. You've transitioned into coaching. Are you getting the same satisfaction off the field as you were when you were playing?
Yes, I would say that for me, transitioning into the coaching world, I'm getting a lot of support from the organization. I really appreciate it. And also seeing going back to 2017, where my coach, like David Wesley and Dennis Miles, were compared to the stage I'm at the moment as an assistant coach and all this, I think it's more than enough, I would say. Support we get from PNG Rugby League, it's very good.
And as a coach, when you see your team winning, would you say it's the same feeling as being on the field or slightly different?
It's same, but for me as a player, it's like you want to scream and shout, but being a coach is different. You just don't want to let your girls know that your coach is happy. You have to be a bit tough. You don't want your players to see the soft part. It's the same feeling, and yeah, it makes me want to work more with the girls and, you know, give more to the girls. Seeing rugby league changed my life. It makes me want to be part of the board of women's rugby league in PNG. Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about PNG men's team in the NRL. Would you hope that would mean a women's team in the NRLW too?
Oh yes, of course. But we have to fix ourselves before aiming for the big goal. And only know we want to have a team in NRL, but we have to have our national competition, which is going to start this year. And we want to have a Hunters team first before going into NRL, because our preparation is very important. We cannot skip all the process. We have to follow the process too, before going to NRL. And yeah, really appreciate what PNG Pacific Sports with the opportunity to our local girls back home to have a national. This is just like men. Confidence, I can say that, you know, our world states can change. Without the national competition, we made the semi-final. Who knows? We might make the grand final if we have a national competition in place in the World Cup.
Do you think the players appreciate having people like yourself and Kathy Kneeup, former Orchids players, now in the coaching positions?
It's a bit of yes. And yeah, they appreciate it. Players coming back to you and seeking comfort and want to know about your experience, I can say with confidence that yeah, they appreciate us giving back to them and be their mentor, and not only coaches, but support them off the field and, you know, on the field of play. And yeah.
I know, speaking with Kathy Kneeup previously, when you started playing for the Orchids, the reception from the crowds wasn't great. How has that changed with the current crop of players that you have now when you're playing at home?
It has changed a lot. Like, we need to go back to our cultural barriers and all these things. And me and Kathy said, we break that cultural barriers already. Just by playing the first PM Statin, you know, the feedback was negative throughout the whole campaign. And on the game day, like, the score margin and all this, and yeah, I really appreciate the girls and the coaching staff who stood on that day and represent their country. And compared to now, you want to see all the Papua New Guineans want to watch the Zilaroos and Orchid. Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome to hear and see that change as well. What tournaments or competitions do you have coming up?
We have a national women's competition. It's just similar to the male Dam Cup we're having at the moment. But the name of this competition is yet to be confirmed by PNG Rugby League. So the competition will have six teams. It's a replacement to our national confederate, or I'll say the regional trials. So we have been six different teams in different provinces that will come in to participate in this national competition.
Della, if you could give a message to the girls that are listening in Papua New Guinea now, what would you like to say?
I would say that for girls who are back home already, you plan a school now. You married, I'm married, bagar up and sports and one way we can help you mean and we give hope of life maybe. So one is anything you must you were kissing your life. You can through sports. And last words to all the sponsors who have been supporting the women's public KNG. This is not only just the sports, but you're investing to take care of a young girl's mindset and you're giving them hope.
Well, you're doing incredible work. You were on the field back in your playing days, and now it's wonderful to see that you're continuing to develop the game for women in Papua New Guinea. Thanks so much for your time today, Della.
Thank you.
That was Della Aldama, former PNG Orchid, telling us about the recent Women's National Championships in the Gold Coast, where PNG took part for the first time.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
All right, before we finish up, it's time to get to know my co-hosts and I a little bit more. It's time for our next segment. Gyamanstapwe is tokpisin for pick the lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. The other two co-hosts will try to gyamanstapwe. Indra, we are going to start with you. What are the three things about you?
The first one is that I walked from the National Stadium in Honiara, which is where you were for the Pacific Games, Bobby, all the way from there to the city, one of the days in the Solomon Islands. Brilliant walk. It's a straight line, so you don't have to turn around too much. And the second one is went to see crocodiles in the Solomon Islands, managed to catch a glimpse of it. So that was a really good one. And thirdly, just got invited to the Under-20 Women's World Cup to be held in Colombia later on this year. So, yeah, those are the three for me this morning.
All right, we'll start with you, Lisa. What do you think the lie is? He walked from the National Stadium to the city in the Solomon Islands. How far do you think that is? I'll ask you, Lisa, how far is that?
Probably less than 10 kilometres.
Less than 10 kilometres, but that still sounds like a long way. Okay, so he did that walk. Ooh, that was a big one. He saw crocodiles in the Solomons, and he's just been named to go to the Under-20 FIFA Women's World Cup in Colombia to work there. Which of those is the lie, Lisa?
I'm going to go with, which one was the crocodile? Did you see the crocodile?
Yeah, he said that he saw crocodiles in the Solomon Islands as well. Is that, you think that's true or you think that's a lie?
I don't think that's true. I didn't know that he went to see crocodiles when he was here.
I feel like I saw a sign that had crocodiles, which really shocked me when I was in Honiara.
I know that he walked from the Los Angeles Stadium back to the hotel, so I'm not really sure.
I'm sorry, but you have to pick something. So, which one of the two? Crocs in the Solomons?
The stadium.
The stadium. You think that's the lie? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I feel like the Colombia one, you were invited, yes, from FIFA. Crocodiles in the Solomons? No, I'm going to agree with Lisa and say you did not walk from the National Stadium to the city, which is under 10 kilometres but still a long way. Indra, what is the lie?
Yeah, well, FIFA Under-20 World Cup, yeah, that's a yes. So looking forward to that in Colombia later this year. Well, if crocodile signage is anything to go by, yeah, so it's only a sign, not an actual crocodile.
So you saw the sign that I saw, but you didn't actually see a croc.
Yeah, it's just somewhere near the stadium, if that's the one we both saw.
You know what, though? Lisa lives in Honiara, and she said she's never seen a crocodile. I think we should have gone with her.
I know, right? And, yeah, so stadium too, by the way. It's 7.3 kilometres to be exact from the National Stadium to the Solomon Kitano Hotel, which is in the city. So it's not a very long walk. It's about 55 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well done. I know that it can get quite hot there and just on that concrete as well. All right, so none of us got that. Lisa, it is your turn. Tell me three things about yourself, please.
I attended Suva International School while growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I have Vanuatu heritage. I'm half Vanuatu.
Mm-hmm.
And I can speak French.
Okay. Indra, what do you think is the lie? So she attended Suva International School. She has Vanuatu heritage and she can speak French. These are three good ones. I'm not too sure. What do you think, Indra?
I think the third one.
Speaks French. You don't think she can
just
speak
because,
French?
Just because that I've seen her interact with Nickelodeon teams and speaking English. Unless I'm like really not getting my pulse in order. But yeah, that's the one I'll go with.
Okay. I feel like she did attend Suva because I feel like in the past she said she's had Fijian heritage. So I'm going to say Vanuatu, unless I've completely got it wrong. So I think that you do not have Vanuatu heritage. All right, Lisa, Guillaume and Stapwe, what is the lie?
Indra's lie.
Oh, well done, Indra. So you don't speak French?
No, I don't speak French. But I do have Vanuatu heritage.
Oh, you do?
Yes, my mom's is part Vanuatu, and I did attend Suva International when I was little.
Ah, okay. All right, well done. So we haven't got either of those. All right, my turn. Here we go. Now, I once applied for visas for the entire Samoan men's cricket team to travel to Auckland for a cricket tournament. I was the team manager of the team. Which of these statements is the lie? 11 out of 15 visas were rejected. All the visas were approved. And last time the Samoan men's cricket team toured Auckland, 5 players didn't return to Samoa. They didn't pass away. They were just staying in Auckland. Indra, I'm going to start with you. Which one of those is a lie?
So I'm thinking based on the knowledge of our great friends in Samoa, I would go with the number one because they usually don't get their visas rejected by New Zealand unless I totally have not met people who have had it because I'm pretty sure they all got their visas and staying back, I'm pretty sure some decided to stay on in New Zealand. So I'll go with the first one as the lie.
First one's a lie. 11 out of 15 visas were rejected. What do you think, Lisa?
I think I'm going to go with Indra.
You're going to go with Indra. Okay, so I did apply, and this was one of the first jobs that I did when I moved over to Samoa, and 11 out of 15 visas were rejected initially. They actually were, and I couldn't believe it. All visas were approved? Absolutely not. That is the lie. They were not approved at all. And the last time the Samoa men's cricket team toured Auckland, yes, 5 players didn't return to Samoa. That's why I had so much issues trying to get visas for the Samoan team because the New Zealand embassy were like, we don't trust you. But anyway, we convinced them. We did get most of the players. I think there was only 2 players who couldn't go, including the wicketkeeper, which was devastating. If there's only one player that you want to be over there, it's your wicketkeeper. But yeah, the lie was that all visas were approved. All right, look, that brings us to the end of the show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, Indra Singh, the news director of the Fijian Broadcasting Corporation. Thank you, Indra.
Thank you, Bobby. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure indeed. And Lisa Osafello, news anchor for Tivoli News in the Solomon Islands. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Bobby. It's good to have. Thank you for having me again.
Of course. And now I'd like to take a minute to give a massive thank you to Nellie Moa, who has been producing Fresh Off the Field since we started in August last year. She's helped me build the show to what it is today. And for that, I'm very grateful. So thank you, Nellie. On that note, I'd like to thank and welcome Declan Byrne, who has taken the reins as producer of Fresh Off the Field. Thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I will be back next week with 2 new co-hosts from across the Pacific talking all things sport in our region. This episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.